calling the meeting to order and asking the secretary to take the roll, please.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Going down the list, we're going to start with Agamir.
Shuram asked to be excused from this meeting. He's out of town.
Okay, Agamir is absent. Bernstein. Here. Bernstein is here. Drake.
Here.
Drake is here. Fest.
Here.
Fest is here.
No, they're calling the roll.
Futron.
The meeting
Futron is here. Gans.
He's asked to be excused. He's working today.
Okay, Gans is not here. Goldmacher. Goldmacher is not here. Helen Ann Kahn.
He's at his son's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll talk about this.
Kahn Helen Ann is not here. Matthew Helen Ann?
At his nephew's wedding.
Okay. Matthew Helen Ann is not here. Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Johnson for the moment is not here. Coburn? Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Unexcused presence.
Kurzweil is here. Nor?
Nor has to be excused. He's out of town.
Okay. Nor is not here. Pritchett.
Okay.
Pritchett is not here. Privis. Privis is here. Rosenberg. Rosenberg is here. Russell.
Tanya's ill.
Russell is not here. Sawyer.
Sawyer's asked to be excused.
Okay,
he's not well.
Okay. Sawyer is not here. Siegel.
Here.
Siegel is here. Sterling. Sterling is here. Aki Tanaka?
Here.
Aki Tanaka is here. Kate Tanaka?
Here.
Kate Tanaka is here. Turner?
Oh, she's out of town.
Turner is not here.
Has
Wilkinson?
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
Here.
Withers is here. So that's 14 and meets the quorum.
Okay. So the chair will entertain a motion to excuse Agamir Gans, Helen Ann, Helen Ann, Knorr, Russell, and Turner. Thank you. Is there a second? Is there any objection?
Wait.
Oh, Sawyer, I'm sorry. I need to add Lewis Sawyer to that list.
Could you repeat that?
Sure. Agamir Gans, Kahn Helen Ann, Matthew Helen Ann, Henry Knorr, Tanya Russell, Lewis Sawyer, and Andrea Turner. Thank you. Okay. Is there any objections to the motion? Okay, thank you. So moved. The next item of business is to approve the agenda. You all received the agenda, I think, both by email and on your on the table this morning. I'm sorry, I'm a little... I still haven't quite woken up yet. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda? Anthony?
It looks like the date needs fixing.
I'm sorry?
At the top it says June.
Oh, the date is wrong. Thank you very much.
The Higgs boson proves that time is very malleable. So we can just deal with that.
Okay. Any other changes or additions or amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, the chair will entertain a motion to accept the agenda as corrected. Thank you. Is there a second? I have a feeling nobody's paying attention. Okay. okay, so the agenda has been approved as amended. Yes? Okay. So the motion has been made and seconded that speakers in debate be limited to 3 minutes. Is there any objection to this motion?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a vote. I'm sorry. All right. Those in favor of the motion, please raise. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Seven, yes.
Noes?
Five, no.
Okay. All right, so the motion passed. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and as people will recall, the Roberts Rules of Order provides that each person may speak twice on any motion before the body. We're now at the point of public comments, but I don't see any public here. They were all smarter than us, and they went to the beach today. And so I will do what I've done in the past, which is if someone from the public shows up, I will ask the indulgence of the body to allow that person to speak when and if somebody comes. Okay? We're now at the point of announcements. Are there board members who have announcements they'd like to make? Janet.
So two announcements. One is, I don't know if you're aware, but the Guild Track, Occupy the Farm, they're back. And they're forming. So you can go to occupythefarm.org. Also, Occupy Bay Area United, OBAU, we're in the process of organizing a GA in the East Bay. So, to be continued. And I have cards, I'll pass them out.
Thank you. Frank.
Hello. Okay, so some of you don't know, I'll be brief, but my case has been dismissed.
Yeah.
So thank you. And so now I have no more court dates or nothing like that. And the reason the judge said it was because of a video that was filmed of it should have been available to us at the preliminary hearing, where in which case it would have ended then, most likely, because the video showed our innocence. And the one they gave us is real dark and grainy, so we got the original, and they dismissed it on that, so I'm really happy. And another thing is the KPFA apprenticeship program is about to get their new apprenticeship group in, so the old group of apprentices will be going out, so if you're listening to Full Circle, listen for a new group of apprentices will be taking over, and a newer group will be coming into the station. And the final announcement is that August 4th, all those apprentices will be hosting a KPFA parking lot sale. I think we missed a year last year, or I'm not sure if we did. I think we did do it last year, but every year we try to have a parking lot sale. There'll probably be some music, some spoken word, maybe like some biscuits or muffins or something out there, and it'll be August 4th in the KPFA parking lot. Bunch of stuff. You can get some KPFA premiums, old premiums. Will be on sale, yard stuff. Basically everything you find at the garage sale will be out in the KPFA parking lot with some entertainment. So I believe it's like 9 or 10 a.m. till about 2 or something like that, and we'll be broadcasting, I believe, in the morning time from the parking lot. So thank you very much.
What day is that?
August 4th. Saturday, August 4th in the KPFA parking lot, corner of MLK and Berkeley Way.
Thank you. Any other announcements from board members? Okay. Moving right along, I asked that Craig add a point on chair's report, because this time I actually have something to report. last week, I think it was, I've lost track of time, on July 2nd, Sasha Futron, vice chair of this body, and myself met with Arlene Engelhardt to discuss two things. When we had originally scheduled the meeting, when we had heard that Carrie Corr was coming back, and at the same time we'd heard that there were going to be cuts at the stations because of budgetary issues, and we wanted to talk to her about the idea of rehiring a management position when we were talking about laying off staff. As it turned out, Carrie did not return, and so that topic was done away with. But at the meeting, we talked to her about two major issues. We talked about the question of the sort of GM hire, which is hanging fire here. And what we wanted to clarify with Arlene was what her criteria were for hiring, because she had told us that none of the applicants that we had forwarded met her criteria. and were none of them were acceptable to her. We explained to her that we felt the members of the personnel committee and some of us on the LSB felt sort of blindsided by this, that we felt it was sort of unfair to the applicants and to the LSB that we didn't know what she was looking for because we had forwarded names that we thought were qualified individuals, and her decision was that they weren't. In our discussion, Arlene shared with us her requirements, and they are at least 5 years of management experience with some public or community radio background, supervisory experience, supervising a staff of about 30, could be a combination of paid and unpaid. After the meeting, Arlene indicated that she really felt like the number 50 was more appropriate, again, a combination of paid and unpaid staff. Fundraising experience, budgetary experience dealing with a budget of at least $1 million. Experience in dealing with a contentious situation and a commitment to work with all sides. And after the meeting, Arlene added, with a commitment to being fair. And six, after the meeting, Arlene added, experience supervising volunteers, preferably a volunteer force of 50 or more. In the course of the discussion, we asked Arlene if she would be willing to share with us the resumes of the managers who have recently been hired at the four other stations in order to have a look at some concrete ideas of what she was, of what was being looked for. She agreed that this was a very good idea and would look into it. She said she will seek advice from the HR firm currently advising Pacifica, which is being provided by Pacifica's insurer. So that's my report on that portion. And this will be, I've just written it up and I'll give it to Craig to include in the minutes so you all get a copy of it. And I propose that this matter simply be referred back to the personnel committee to determine what further action we should take. Then we also talked to her about financial concerns. And I'm just going to read this because I think it's easier for me. Arlene confirmed that Pacifica is looking at cutting $1 million network-wide. We asked how the cuts were to be implemented and what would happen at each station. She told us that the cuts to each station would be based on the income to expense ratio at each station and adherence to the station's budget. She acknowledged that WBAI's expenses were too great for their income and said the reduction of WBAI's central services from 19.5% to 9% approximately. Sasha, did you have your hand up?
No. Sorry.
No, okay, that's okay. I'm sorry. She said that the reduction of BAI's central service fees from 19.5% to 9% approximately was an effort to help WBAI to more closely match income to expenses. That cut resulted in a cut in income to Pacifica of about $300,000. Arlene said that KPFT has the closest ratio of income to expenses and they have already come up with $70,000 in cuts. We asked about cuts of Pacifica, and she said the Pacifica is cut to the bone. Pacifica reduced its staff by 1.5 FTE in the last year and a half, and there are no, end quote, there are no more cuts that can be made. Arlene told us that Pacifica has just sent out a fundraising letter. This is something they normally do only at holiday time. This letter usually brings in between $70,000 and $80,000. Sasha and I said that it was our understanding that KPFA was very close to being on target with its budget and that it was paid up in central services. We believe that KPFA is on target to end the year with a surplus. We said it didn't make any sense to cut staff when the result of that will be a drop in donations and therefore a drop in Pacifica's income. Arlene said that it was not her understanding that KPFA was in such good shape financially, but she wasn't sure. That there would be a meeting soon to iron out discrepancies. She finally did say that if it were the case that any station was on target with their income slash expenses, there might not need to be any cuts at that station. Arlene said that Pacifica would honor union contracts and work with the unions. She said that Pacifica would not be implementing cuts. They would be working with local management to do that. We talked briefly about financial issues at other stations. Sasha said that the WBAI problem had been around since she first came onto the LSB nearly 6 years ago. Arlene acknowledged that and then talked about how expensive it is to move a radio station, somewhere between $600,000 to $1 million in the case of WBAI. WPFW is looking for space that will require minimum build-out to reduce the costs of moving. She also said that WPFW was up against a very hard deadline because the building they are in is being torn down. Arlene said that she has presented a long list of options and a financial recovery plan to deal with Pacifica's financial woes to the PMB. Finally, Arlene said that when she had more information about the KPFA financial situation, she will contact us and schedule another meeting. So that's my chair's report. And if anybody wants to ask me any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. Although, like I said, I'm almost still asleep. But I'll wake up. I'll work on it. No questions? Okay. Thank you all very much for listening. Those two documents. Comments. I'll take a comment.
As a member of the LSB, I'm unhappy with what our executive director is saying to us. First of all, I think the requirements that she's now establishing for a station manager at Pacifica is so far beyond past practice, number one, and secondly, so far beyond our means as an organization that doesn't pay its station managers very much. It's almost like you're asking for someone with prior experience in a much better paying job in a more efficient organization to come here and work for KPFA. I'm very serious about that. I mean, without disclosing any confidential information, I'm pretty confident that none of the people running our stations had that kind of experience before they came to their present jobs. On the financial situation, I think the issue really is national offices' failure, in my opinion, to provide leadership for increasing revenue. This problem is now going on into its fifth year, and we're still doing the exact same thing we always did.
Thank you. I forgot to ask someone to be the timekeeper. Do I have a timekeeper volunteer? Thank you, Janet. Okay. But I will tell you that I kept track of Dan's time, and he did not speak 3 minutes. So. Three. Okay, thank you. Any other comments? All right, very good. So now we're ready for Andrew's report. Welcome, Andrew. Somebody give that man a mic. Rich has got a mic for him.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. Check. Is it on? Yeah, it is. Let me just continue with the Pacifica system-wide fiscal restraint plans, as listed in the memo. As reported in my June report, the Pacifica National Board has now called officially for a reduction in expenses and workforce. The Foundation's intention is to reduce network expenses by $1 million immediately. This notice sent to all Pacifica affiliated unions states, in quotes, "The letter will serve as required notice that layoffs, reductions in staff and reductions in pay will take place," unquote. It continues, quote, "The Foundation fully intends to abide by our contracts, which may call for additional steps or criteria to be met," close quote. The Foundation states its intention to, quote, "drastically reduce expenses and or reduce staff." The CWA and unions at other stations have been notified by the Foundation. The memorandum states that there may be need to restructure staff and services and perhaps make some program changes. I will be meeting with the CWA probably next week to begin discussions with the union. Effective immediately, as of June the 26th, one, all current contracts with contractors providing outside services to stations will cease unless pre-approved. Exceptions for pre-approval of essential services include legal services, FSRN, and Democracy Now. Two, KPFA uses Rebel Systems and Roger Marquis to run our internet services. They are a private contractor. They support the information backbone of KPFA. I still need to clear this with the executive director, the fact that they will continue working with us. I'm assuming they certainly will. They need to, as we need that backbone. It's the backbone of KPFA. Three, all open positions will be considered closed and all recruitment must cease except for permanent hire of the KPFA GM and permanent program directors. A wage freeze and title freeze is now in effect network-wide. The Pacifica National Board meeting will be meeting in Berkeley this month, and there'll be a reception at KPFA planned for Thursday the 19th in the evening.
Friday.
Is it going to be Friday now? Okay. Correction. Planned for Friday the 20th. We expect up to 100 people. There may be more than that. The station will be opened up for this event. The board meeting will be held that weekend. The KPFA recall election, I'm sure you will be discussing that, so I don't think I need to say anything more about that. Just a little bit on the Bob Baldock speaker series. On July 12, the Native American artist Joy Hart Harlow will be presenting Crazy Brave, a memoir at St. Paul's Church. And on July 26, Kay Larson will be speaking about John Cage and Zen Buddhism at the Hillside Club. In terms of my assistance, since Kerry Corr is not coming back, as Margie mentioned, Veronica Faison has been helping me. She's a former apprentice at KPFA. She's been an acting assistant to the manager. We still need to actually find out what actual title she's going to get. And under the staff freeze and hire freeze, I have yet to confirm with Arlene how and how much and what relationship we would have with Veronica. I should say she's been extremely helpful filling in some of the program director responsibilities, and certainly during the membership drive, she's been an essential part of my management team. And we do need a second management person. I would suggest, in case something happens to the manager. NFCB, Veronica, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, Veronica Faison attended with Chris Stelic at the NFCB. Chris Stelic met with representatives for the second time from an organization called Goalbusters. They're a public radio development consultant organization. We had asked them to submit a plan to help KPFA with development, which they did. We have asked them to submit references, resumes, about their organisation and their successes. Once again, we need to discuss with the executive director whether we can go ahead and spend roughly $30,000 with this consulting outside organisation to help KPFA with its development. This is an obvious one. At the June LSB meeting, I announced that I would be leaving, that it was my last. Well, it wasn't. Here I am. I understand that another GM search will ensue. In the meantime, I continue as interim GM for an indefinite period, though September has been mentioned as a finish date. I guess we should clarify that. I'm open to, as I said, participate in an orderly transfer at KPFA. Morning programming, the upfront program has now been on air since May 17, that's 6 weeks. Both Brian Edwards Tickett and John Hamilton have been hosting, and both have done an excellent job, in my opinion, along with the rest of the news department, especially Eileen Elfenderry and producer Laura Privitz, who are actually doing additional work to put this program together. The fact is we have a one-hour news in the evening and we now have 1 hour in the morning, so we're actually getting double our bang for the buck from the money, I would suggest. And I think if I can pat myself on the back, I think that was a pretty damn good management decision. apprenticeship program. The graduates of Group 37, there are four apprentices. This will happen on Saturday, the August the 16th, I believe, at the annual... let me get this clear. I'm not sure of the date. I think it's the 16th.
Well, Saturday is the 18th.
Oh, okay, that's... I rubbed it out. I confused with the parking lot sale. The parking lot sale's on the 4th. I think the graduation's on the 18th. Yeah. I just wanted to name for the record, currently at KPFA, we have 26 former apprentices working with the radio station. I just want to put their names on for the record. The following are First Voice graduates who, to my knowledge, have worked at the station in the last 6 months, both paid and unpaid. Frank Sterling, Erica Bridgman, Carla West, Rose Katachi, Kirsten Thomas, Janine Etta, Clay Ordona, Antonia Ortez, Jill Montgomery, Miguel Guerrero, Victoria Hernandez, Alison Rolls, Joy Moore, Eddie Page, Jovelin Richards, Bonnie Bone, Veronica Faison, Eva Bolden, Rosie Reyes, Christopher Martinez, Carl Jagbundasingh, I think is the pronunciation, Jane Chang, Lisa Detmer, Sam Mende Wong, Robin Takeyama, and Rod Aki. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Questions, comments on the GM's report? Mal?
I would like to know if the Pacifica executive director has given you any kind of a number in dollars of cuts that you have to make.
There's been no formal number, but we've been batting around inside the station a number of $300,000. I heard today that there was there would be an income expense ratio, or could be an income expense ratio applied. It's my understanding that KPFA is currently in the black to the tune of over $100,000. Of course, we have bills, and it's always a moving target. But I don't think we're as badly off as some of the other stations. And I think if Pacifica is going to make $1 million in cuts, I guess they're going to have to cut from our stations, because we're the only ones that have got the money. They can't cut from BAR anymore. They can't cut from WPFW anymore. These are the stations that don't have the money. So in a sense, we're being penalised for our minimal success, if I can put it that way. It's going to be substantial. It appears to amount to five full-time positions.
If I can make a little comment, then that really sounds to me like Pacifica cutting off its nose despite its face.
Okay, other comments, questions? Sasha.
Yes, I didn't want to act. Anyway. So you think it's five positions and no figure has been mentioned to you, but there's an income. What is the ratio? I mean, you indicated that there was an income expense ratio.
I don't know what that ratio is, the income to expense ratio. It's the first time I actually heard that phrase come up. It's an interesting one. We've been speaking inside the office, the business manager and myself, and with the treasurer too, looking at the amount of money we have in the bank currently, which is, as I said, in the black. But as I said, if these cuts are going to be made, and I point out these have come down from the Pacifica National Board. Arlene Engelhardt is implementing changes which have come down from the National Board. We would have to cut, I think, probably $300,000. That's a number that's been thrown out there.
Okay, but you haven't been given a number, because one of the things that I noticed when we were meeting with Arlene, she said she had no idea about any kind of figure for KPFA, but on her board that she writes on, it did say $250,000 from KPFA, which was sort of interesting. Since nothing had been considered yet, allegedly. In terms of the GM hire process, I'm a little confused. You are staying and can only stay until September 30th, but what if there isn't another GM, permanent GM, in place by that time? I'm unclear whether you can stay beyond the 30th of September.
I, at this point, my understanding is from the ED, we haven't discussed it further, was that September was the suggested date. But once, I would think we would need to put something in writing this time so it's really clear about departure times and dates. So I can't answer the question. I'm willing to discuss all of this. I just, with the ED, I know there's been a lot of ferment about the GM position, and I don't know how long it's going to take to find another GM.
Apparently forever with her new criteria.
Okay, more? Laura.
I'm wondering, Andrew, if you... I mean, I don't really know how this process with the cuts and the financial problems is going through, but I think it would be important for this board, or at least the chair of this board, to be in that communication loop. Is that possible?
I'm agreeable to that. I would like this process to be transparent and open and to work with the staff and anybody else who would like to be involved with that. I mean, I think it's an important, a really important decision, obviously, and frankly, I think we need to give a lot more thought to it. I think it's going to be difficult to make these cuts and really continue operating the way we have been operating. So I think there's more discussion to be held on this entire issue. To repeat, I'm happy if a representative from the board would want to attend those meetings.
Can you inform the board about when those meetings are so that we can...
Yes, I will.
Great. Thank you. Janet.
Yes, Andrew, you might have said this, but is there any...
Could you speak up a little?
Is there any projected time when these cuts would be made?
excuse me. No, there isn't, but the term effective immediately is in the document that applies to current contracts with contractors, et cetera, but indicates the immediacy, and I think we're being asked to include these cuts in the upcoming budget. So that would be this financial year, for next financial year.
Marky, I have another question.
Now I have a question. You mean before the new financial year begins in October? Is that what you're saying?
I have yet to have a formal discussion with the executive director about this, but my understanding is that in the new budget that these quote-unquote cost savings should be included.
Okay. Sasha, go ahead.
You may not be able to answer this, but you did indicate perhaps some knowledge of what has been going on the PMB level in terms of discussions. But I'm really wonder. I mean, this is all so strange, and obviously to me, it's the death knell for Pacifica to have the stations that are breaking even, perhaps bringing in a little bit extra over their budgets because they've been very cautious for the last, you know, year or two, to have them, you know, cut five people. Are you aware of any discussion of how they think this is going to happen? I mean, if we're cutting five people from staff, that's a tremendous full-time, that's a tremendous number. That's like 25% of our full-time staff, right? Or a little bit better than that. Well, no. Well, anyway, my math is off a little bit, but a fifth. Which is clearly going to make a change in the programming, which maybe will bring in a change in what we bring in. And at the same time, we're expected to hire a general manager who has far more qualifications than the general managers that were just hired at three other stations in the same time frame. We're all searching in the same time frame. Our response from the ED was just withheld for 2 months to begin with from when, you know, information was sent to her. So all of a sudden, KPFA has special criteria of somebody who is, you know, as Dan pointed out, extraordinarily experienced and supposed to do this, you know, for no money whatsoever. And it just seems to me these very unreasonable things are being put into place that guarantees the failure of the network and therefore the death of our station. And I don't know if you're privy to any of those discussions, but you sort of indicated that the, you know, this was coming from the PNB.
I don't think I can really answer that with knowledge. I wouldn't say the death of the station. It's certainly been a big change. And I reiterate again, and I think one of the most important things that Pacifica needs to be doing is looking at its web presence and helping the five stations unify and upgrade substantially our web presence. As I mentioned last time, I think the what I call the intellectual capital of the organization, which is the past, present, and future programs. The future programs embedded in the present producers and those who will follow, like those 26 apprentices, that's what we should keep our eye on to make sure that we keep available this alternative information to the public at large and around the world on the internet, and that we must have a plan. We don't currently, as far as I know, at Pacifica, that this needs to be addressed urgently and we need to take action. I do have a colleague of mine who has volunteered time. He has put together what he calls Pacifica Expanded, an expanded way of perhaps using the internet in some better way. Perhaps I'll be able to present that at the next LSB meeting and also suggest present it to the executive director too. It's not being done in-house. It's just a colleague of mine who volunteered some ideas. But I don't see Pacifica doing this, and I think it's as was said at the meeting before. It's been 5 years and probably longer that we've been in this situation. I mean, I've been with Pacifica since 1979, with a long break in between, and I can say that back then we had similar kind of problems. So this has been endemic through this organisation for a very long time, and as the media landscape has changed, we have not kept up with it. I think it's to a great detriment that we have not.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Okay. Andrew, you want to say anything in conclusion, or are you done?
I'm done. Thank you. And it's just great to see the board. I see there's a different configuration in the seating pattern, which I just noticed when I came in. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Thank you, Andrew.
Don't draw too many conclusions from that.
Okay. All right, we're ready for the treasurer's report. Okay, Is the treasurer ready? Okay.
That top one can go to Craig, plus an additional.
Okay.
It's just single sheets.
Okay.
So right now I'm passing out the profit and loss statement through May. What happened? Did you guys? I passed about.
They're coming around. No. Myself?
I passed a bunch of statements this way. Maybe Andrew picked up the whole. Yes, that's the ones to go along this table. I'm glad you're really into this subject, Andrew, but. Right. And I have to report right away that, in fact, Maria is having such difficulty with the budget, she is not going to be here with it. And it looks like in order to review that before the next August meeting, we're going to have to contemplate a meeting in between, which we did last year, and so we'll have to do again. You'll all remember, perhaps, when we looked at our income and expense statements previous to this one, that one of our big surpluses is in the development budget, and this was due to a change in the way a lot of the premiums were being produced. We're spending less money on them because they're doing many of the CD recordings of speeches and so on at the station. We're not sending out to have this done. And it may sound like that's an easy thing for us to look at our statement and say, well, we should have this much less in it next year. But in fact, since the budget is in this complicated template that you've all heard about, there are many interconnecting things about the development budget. For instance, the number of
fundraising days is connected to a speculation about how many premiums that means will be purchased, and it also affects what the mailing costs will be and what the credit card fees we will have to pay. And these are formulas that the financial analyst has worked out looking at past years. And so we can't just go in and say, well, we will have to have a meeting with him. Maria is going to try and do that very soon and say, look, we're spending less on these premiums, so we need to affect this whole string of formulas in order to make a more realistic budget for development. And that's one thing in the new budget that will be reduced for based on what you see for this year. There are other complications about the use of the template, and I'm very sorry. I think I should have realized yesterday we probably wouldn't get to this today, but Maria insisted she was going to work far into the night and got up early, and she said she could come and bring you stacks of paper. It's all in pieces. In other words, this section of the budget with the template relates to this, and this section over here. And I said, no, this is way too much to absorb in a meeting, and I think she's right. We will have to think about having our budget meeting. She preferred not next week, but the week after. And that's right up against when the PNB starts on Friday. So I don't know, the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, she said she would be willing to meet in the afternoon and the evening. We can, as we had before, two meetings so that people can come when it's convenient for them. Andrew has reported what his information is about the cuts. The information that I've had was that the emphasis was on cutting this year, and I didn't think, I had not really asked specifically, but I did not get the impression that it was necessarily going to be reflected in next year's budget. But that the important part was that they needed to get funds from us this year. And as you'll see from your financial statement, let's look at that for a minute. On the front page in column J is May, and then next to that is the year to date for 8 months. And so you'll see at line 16J is the year to date revenue. And line 30J is the year-to-date expenses. And on the next page, then we have the income and capital items. So those get subtracted. That leaves us a surplus, but we do know that the depreciation has been figured into this. And Maria... It has been. This is the summary page, and if you follow the administrative expenses, which are just one line, line 21 on the front page, in the details section, there's more explanation of what that's made up of, and depreciation is line 104. But up here, back up to line 37, Maria adds back the depreciation amount just to show us, in reality, what the surplus is at this point. And pardon me? 38. So at 8 months... leaving the depreciation in, treating it as an expense, which it really is not, we have a surplus of $229,812. if you add back the amount of depreciation that was treated as an expense, which is $75,942 up to this eight-month period, we have a surplus of $305,754. So, and also, let me just tell you the other little check-in we like to do. The balance in the bank at the end of June 30th, which is one more month than this statement that we're looking at, the balance in the bank was $78,420. That's a little low for us. Frequently, we have more than that. And at that point, checks that were waiting to be paid were $11,018. There has been a lot of financial activity since the end of June, and of course, we don't have a whole statement about the things that have happened in July, but I should tell you that we did pay one bill for legal services, which was over $27,000. It's payment for services on a case which is apparently moving up to the insurance limit. Like, in other words, pretty soon, if there are more bills above our insurance coverage, which is per case, we will those payments will be covered by the insurance. And in June, of course, there were payments. We paid one payment of $25,000 extra toward network expenses, and another $80,178, which I think some of this was our central services. I'm not sure of the breakdown of that. That was something we did not pin down yesterday by looking at old records when Maria and I were working. But in any case, we paid out a lot of money in June. Is this a question that could wait till the end? Okay. So I just want to say something about this statement that I feel like we're in an ambiguous time right now. Andrew's getting some very stiff talk about this and this and this is going to happen. But in fact, when you get down to particulars, maybe the conversation that Margie and Sasha had with Arlene is more realistic. You know, there may be some leeway if you're all up to snuff with your budget projections. And the idea that she has gotten, I think, from the CFO, that we should be paying a $300,000 toward shrinking this deficit comes from figures that are in this unreconciled account between all the stations. Now, the CFO is now claiming that this account has been reconciled. But in fact, what was presented was just totals of what each station owed and was owed. And there is still no explanation of what these sums represent. But I'll just read to you a list that Maria prepared from the document given to us by the CFO, a sum of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 different lines that pertain to KPFA, and we are owed, and some of these are long-term receivables, and some are at some more recent point. But the total lines go like this. KPFA is owed from KPFT $28,272, owed to the national office, according to this tally, $439,514. There is a long-term debt owed to KPFA of $1,343,734. Then there is owed from PRA $18,224, owed to PRA $51,000, so and $287. So this comes out to a total of $33,063 that KPFA may owe PRA. That's the Pacifica Radio Archives. A long-term receivable due to KPFA from WBAI is $69,266. WPFW owes KPFA $18,000 and another $10,625. So WPFW owes KPFA $28,626. So if you balance this out between what we owe and they owe us, the bottom line for KPFA is that we are owed $997,321. Now, I didn't make copies of this for everybody. It's based on a report that the CFO has put up on the internet, on the emails with the finance committee and the... it's on the...
No, it's not.
Well, I believe it is. And that's fine, Tracy. We'll argue it out later. But anyway, this was distributed recently. Again, it had been distributed apparently a few months back. And when we asked about it, Maria looked it up and found it, and there it was. So that's this, the summary from that. But the real point is that these figures, some of them are known what they are. The most recent ones, we know when we contributed money for payrolls. Sometimes we contributed money. At one point, we were told the national office was going to pay one kind of expense with it, and turns out they paid something different. We realized that from the general ledger. So there are... there's a lack of detail for the expenses that we've been charged. And I think this ambiguous period that we're in now about the cuts that need to be made involve what the CFO has dredged up from this interstation account, which I feel is not a reliable figure for us to just... go by what she's saying the total is. We need to know more about what these expenses are before we accept any of them and have them relate to our budget currently. Now, this doesn't help at all with the deficit, I guess is what they're calling it, that the finance office, the national office is dealing with. And I don't know where it puts the LSB as far as a discussion that you need to have about this. Maria and I were heading towards preparing the budget that was pretty much what had been for the last year. And of course, this means that you all need to discuss this apparent method that's being suggested of reducing the expenses by reducing the staff.
You're done.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, so now the floor is open for questions and comments. Remember, you're limited to 3 minutes. Mal.
It seems to me that there's no point in asking the LSB to discuss budget for next year until we have some notion about what is being asked of the station, if anything, by way of cuts.
Okay, I have on the list Janet, Tracy, Franklin. Anybody else? Anthony. Okay, Janet.
Okay, two separate things. Barbara, is there a way that we can get a copy, or can you post the Maria's
the
numbers?
The interstation.
Sorry?
Account. The interstation chart.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So thank you. And the other question has to do with that KPFA, the cost of the recall election is coming out, or KPFA is paying for that. And I'd like to know how much that's costing and where it's reflected in the budget.
I don't believe it is in this budget, in this financial statement yet. We don't have the figures. This is through May, and most of the expenses have come in after this statement.
So you don't know the cost?
I don't know.
Okay. So I have on the list Tracy, Franklin, Jack, Aki, and Donald. Is there anybody else? Anthony, I'm sorry. Okay, Tracy, followed by Anthony.
Yeah, a couple quick things. Wow, it's a loud mic. The lawsuit in question is Mania versus Pacifica for the $27,000 payment. If it is, in fact, approaching the insurance deductible, which I'm really sad to hear, that would mean $125,000 because that's what our insurance deductible is per case. I believe that Andrew said the preliminary look at the June numbers was a surplus that had dropped to $100,000. Just to be clear, as far as I know, KPFA only has one more fundraising session in this fiscal year, which would be in August, which is a mini drive, which raises maybe $300,000. And that may be optimistic. So you would be looking at somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 surplus to meet $750,000 in expenses. So for those who felt that it was likely KPFA would roll to the end of the year in a surplus, I'm just asking you kind of how you're getting there. Because you have, after this financial statement, in the month of June, you have expenses of about $240,000 to $250,000 a month to meet in July, August, and September, approximately $750,000 additional. And I guess the other request is, for what it's worth, I've never seen the report that Barbara's talking about. It's never been posted to the National Finance Committee or distributed in any way that I'm aware of. I wish Barbara had seen fit to bring a copy of it. It's easier to talk about reports when you can see them, and I'd like a link to either a copy of the email or a link to where you think it's posted or some other way to track down the report, because no one else has ever seen it that I'm aware of.
Anthony, you're next, but I just want to ask Andrew a clarifying question. I believe that you said that there's a fund drive beginning on July 23rd, is that right? And that replaces the August fund drive? Or
it goes into.
Yeah, give him a microphone so he can hear. It's the same one. There's only one.
It's the same one, yeah. It goes to September the 2nd. September the 2nd.
August 2nd.
August 2nd.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. July 23rd to August 2nd.
Right.
And that's our final fund drive.
Well, we have another one, yeah.
Fiscal year?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, actually, part of September, yeah.
What?
Yeah, we have part of the September fund drive.
It moved up the fall fund drive is going to, instead of starting in October like it usually does, it's starting the second week in September.
Holy
Correct.
Cow. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Anthony.
Yeah, just a quick question. Who creates the template?
The financial analyst in the financial analyst in the national office.
Okay.
Franklin.
I think you may answer this, and I'm not too good with the budgetary part of all this, but I was just curious if all these stationary debts or anything, if if all these interstationary debts are like any significance to like the overall debt. I think you said that it wasn't, but I was just wondering if there's any sort of like internal station debt forgiveness that we could have. Like if we didn't owe them, you know, or they didn't owe us, would it make any sort of dent in that? And do we really need to collect it or to pay it if there's any sort of way we could do that? And if we did like have some sort of debt forgiveness with our interstationary stations, would it make any sort of dent in anything at all?
In a way, these things are balanced off against each other, but in fact, there's no debt forgiveness thing happening. It certainly is something that PNB could examine and you know, make some plan about, but it would probably take direction like that.
So, like, what I'm trying to get at, I guess, like, if you did do that, would it make any significant dent in, like, another station's, like, one of our sister stations or whatever, if they didn't have to pay the debt to us? Would it matter significantly to them?
Well, they aren't paying it, and it is mattering significantly to us, you know, what's owed to us. But it's really hard to speculate what could be accomplished by that until you got into it, you know. And Andrew had some, raised his hand there when Frank was asking this question.
I was going to say, Barbara, that my understanding is that substantial amount of money, over $1 million, which allegedly is owed to KPFA, came from the move of the national office from Washington back to Berkeley, which happened after 1999. So my understanding is that that large amount of money was paid by KPFA for the move back to the West Coast.
I think that is the major part of that, but there could it's not really clear. That may be the clearest debt that we know facts about.
Okay, next is Jack, followed by Aki.
There's your microphone.
I want to go back to this issue of depreciation in the budget. And I would like to know specifically what that amount in the budget means. Is that money like $9,000 a month or something of that sort put away into some separate account called depreciation? Or where exactly does that money reside?
It is not put in an account. It is only on the books. And what it does is it reduces any surplus that we have or contributes to a deficiency if we don't have enough other balance in the account to cover that. And this is one of the problems with listing it as this phantom expense. Maria and I wanted to have two budgets to present to you. One, listing the depreciation the way the CFO has decided it needs to be last year and this year. And then one, putting it into the capital part of the budget, which is, you'll see at the end after the other operating incomes and expenses, and actually set it up so that some portion of that would be put in an account. Because one of the criticisms that the national office has of us is that, well, you're not accumulating reserves. We've spent all the reserves, and you need to be accumulating reserves. But every bit of reserve that we have accumulated, they have found a need for. So it's keeping us from actually accumulating reserves. And if we were to take this depreciation figure, put it in the capital budget, where it is more properly, I believe, should be placed, and actually maybe, I don't know, cut it in thirds or in halves, and some portion of that actually put into an account. But that is not the way it's being
so
treated.
I want to clarify, because I don't understand all this financial stuff. Mm-hmm. very much. But it's as if I set up a special checking account or savings account into which I was going to put $150 a month towards repair of my roof. Not my roof, the roof on my house, because I personally don't have a roof.
Yeah, a toupee but, would be a lot cheaper.
For anticipated replacement of the roof of my house 15 years from now, right? And I set up this checking account to every month put $100 into it. And then I take the money from that checking account and I spend it on something else.
No, you don't take it. Somebody else takes
Somebody else takes it. Somebody else takes it. But I think that what I'm doing is anticipating, right, having to pay for a new roof on my house, and I don't get it. So somebody somewhere has got to clarify that for me. If the budget calls for a fund for depreciation and we are paying for it, then that fund has got to accumulate for us, that is KPFA's depreciation. Am I making any sense?
You are, and it's absolutely true that the situation we are in is unrealistic.
Thank you.